Turning your Bibles, if you want to Colossians chapter 3. We're continuing our study of the family relations. We're looking at different roles within the family unit from God's Word. And we who belong to Jesus Christ, we're to be different. We're to live different lives because we are different. We are new people in Christ. We were dead, but now we're alive. We are God's children. We're set apart in Christ. We're to walk worthy of the calling which we've been called. We're children of God as saints. Well, as we look at detail of the family unit, we've been seeing that we are supposed to be different in our roles as husband and wife and parents and children. And these last few weeks, we've been seeing the roles. We've seen the role of the wife and the husband. We're now focusing on children and then parents. And this morning, we're continuing in part two of the role of children. And I think there's some great things we can gain, even if we say, well, this is what our children need to do, in the sense that many of us are children and are still with our folks, are still alive. And so we want to just look at these truths, and may we seek to make an impact for Jesus Christ as we live in obedience. I think it's a little bit, got some little feedback or something. Maybe as we seek to make an impact for Christ. Let's begin with a prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you, Lord, for this class. Thank you, Lord. I just love being in here. And I thank you for each one that is here. And Lord, we thank you that in your grace and your mercy and your love to us, you have given us your Son, Jesus Christ. And he came and he died on the cross and he paid for sin. And he was buried and rose again. And whoever will believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We thank you for your gift to us, because it's by grace that we are saved through faith and not of ourselves. It's your gift to us. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we ask you that as we continue looking at the role of our family relationships and especially even the role of children, Lord, let's help us to study it and to understand it and to be faithful to live by your scripture and by your word. Lord, we just want to be different than the world. We want to make an impact for you. Lord, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. How do we view our children, and how do our children view us? Do we view our children as gifts from God, as gifts from God, or a bother? I worked with a person one time that she had one child, and I said, well, so what about you, great son, huh? She said, well, yeah, he's fine, but never again. One was enough, and I wish I'd have never had him. I went, okay. And then I've got another friend who has six children, and they're looking for more, you know. So how do we view children? Do we view them as a gift from God or a bother in our lives? And here's the second question is, how do our children view us? You know, sometimes when they're young, or oftentimes when they're young, they see parents as protectors, and they're great, and you're perfect, and you're daddy or you're mama, and you're old, you know. Then they get older, and they get that teenage years, and then you're stupid. And then they get older, and they find out that you actually know some things. Not very much, but you know some things. Think about it when you're young, when you're little bitty. I read this story about this little boy went to the lingerie section of a big California department store, and he had this problem. So he went to the clerk, and he said, I'd like to buy a present for my mama. I want to buy her a slip. And so, but I don't know what size she wears. So the lady said, well, is she like tall or short or fat or skinny? What is she? And he said, oh, she's perfect. She's perfect. So she wrapped up a size 34 or whatever and took it home. 2 days later, the mom came back, changed it for a size 52. But, you know, the thing about it is, in that little boy's eyes, what was she? She's perfect. That she is. But then they get older and they become teens. And it's amazing how stupid we become. Listen, we're not cool because we don't know music, we don't know TV, we don't know movies, we don't know dances. We're just not cool. And then we get older. And suddenly, we've gained some wisdom. I read the story of the guy who said, you know, when I was 15, my father was so stupid. But by the time I got 21, I was amazed how many things he had learned. It's true. How do our children view us? How do we view our children? This morning, we want to continue the study of the role of children. And last time, we saw two powerful truths. And the first one is the rights and responsibilities. Children have both rights and responsibilities. We said they have the right to be born, the right to be taken care of, the right to be taught. Before we go to the next thing, let's talk about the rights for just a second. They have a right to be born. We talk about the fact that if we conceive them, they have a right to come into this world. They're human beings from that moment, and they have a right to be taken care of in that way. The second, to be taken care of is to protect it and to be fed and provided for. They come under the protection of the parents. And then the third thing is the right to be taught. And I'm talking about the right to be taught the truths of God's Word, because John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. They need to know that. They have the right to know what's truth. Now, our world's not going to give them truth. There's no doubt about that. So you just can't go by that. You can't say, well, I mean, I've had people say, I'm gonna let my children decide for themselves. Well, you're gonna let the world teach them the false things that just aren't true. You want your children to know the truth. The second thing we said is they have responsibilities. I think that's the second thing there. And that was to obey their parents, to honor their parents, and provide for their parents. That's the big three we talked about last time. And we're going to see that today. And you know, when children come into this world, there's a very special time. I think it's not next week. I think it's 2 weeks from today that we'll have a baby dedication. We'll have some families bring their beautiful little ones up there. And when you look at those babies, you go, this is incredible. And they have those rights, but at the same time, they have responsibilities. And we're going to see three major responsibilities. I think here's the first one, and that is to obey. Look at Colossians 3. Look at verse 20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So the very first thing that we see scripture-wise is that children obey their parents. Now, the Greek word for obey is hupoakouo. Hupo means under, and akouo means to hear. It means to hear under. They're to come under the authority of their parents. The question sometimes is asked, are parents the boss of their children? What's the answer to that? Yes, they are. You know, it's when parents say, little Johnny, have you chosen to go to bed yet? Chosen to go to bed, but in that bed. Parents are the boss of the children. Children come under the authority. What a parent says goes. God has entrusted you, the parent, and they are under the authority, and children are to obey their parents. Now, as long as you may say, well, I'm 35 years old. Well, you're not under the authority of your parents anymore. So hopefully you're not under the authority of your parents anymore. That word literally means to listen under. The plan is that God has that the parents are to train up, and so the children are to listen, to learn truths and principles that are taught to them by their parents. You're to listen to them. I want you to turn to a couple of places, and you've got to move around a little bit. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. Just kind of turn toward the middle of your Bible as you go toward the back, and you get to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. We know that, and as you're turning that, let me just talk about this. There's Job and Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. Those are known as the wisdom literature in the Bible because they give us timeless truth. They give us truths and principles that we apply in our lives. And so we're going to see some wisdom from the Proverbs dealing with children and parents, especially that the children are come under the authority of their parents and to listen to their parents and learn from their parents. I've told you the joke that when my little ones, when Catherine and Sarah were small and we'd go to the Chinese restaurant, they always had the fortune cookie at the end. Of course, they couldn't read. And every time we would open their fortune cookie, it always said, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. And I can still remember Catherine going, we always get this one. And I said, yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. And so these are great things you can use on them. Just tell them this is what the Bible says. And then they learn to read and they realize that they didn't get that ever again for some reason after they learned to read. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. Listen to what it says to children as far as their mamas and their daddies and their parents, their fathers. Proverbs 1 verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. See, it's the responsibility of the father and mother to teach, and the children are to listen, to hear, to not forsake, to obey. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. He said, listen, when you take the truth from your parents, and we're talking about God's word and the wisdom as God has brought us through life, that's something to not forsake, but it is to put it around your neck, so to speak. And sometimes I remember being a teenager, and you remember this. You didn't want to listen to your father. What did they know? They don't know anything. They're not in school with you. They don't know anything. That's what you think. But we train them up, and they begin to say, you know, maybe you do know something. Look over to Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments. Now notice the teaching is coming from where? The Word of God. And that's him saying, my son, don't forget what I've taught you. Look at verse 4. So you'll find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. In fact, verse 3 says, Don't let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. You'll find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. These are the verses. This proverb here, Proverbs 3, is the section that from Awana that we're all memorizing. We call it Take It to Heart. And by my Wednesday morning guys and Thursday morning guys have memorized this about the first 12 verses or first 13 verses of this that we memorize. So it's fun. And so he says, you'll find favor and good repute when you listen to the Word of God, when you obey the Word of God. He's saying, children, when you obey it, you'll find favor and good repute in the sight of God and men. Think about it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Go back to the Word. Don't lean on your understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him and He'll make your path straight. Trust in the Lord. Go to Proverbs chapter 6, wisdom literature. Verse 20. This is for all those kids. Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, observe the commandment of your father. Do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Now, it's very simple. The commandment of your father, the teaching of your mother. And they're not talking just about the Word of God. I think the emphasis is always the truths, because the truths and principles of all decisions and the way we live is based off the Scripture. He's saying, listen to what your mama and your father are teaching you. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will what? They will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you're awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is a light and reproves for discipline of the way of life. We could tell our children from the Word of God that, listen to our wisdom from the Scripture, because it's going to make you a different person. So as children, we're to say, we're to obey our parents. We're to come under the authority of our parents. We're to listen to what they're teaching us. We're to know what they're teaching us. So children, obey your parents. Go back to Colossians chapter 3, and I want you to see something, because it's unique. Colossians chapter 3, he says, children, be obedient to your parents. And then there are two things here, and I think I've got an overhead on this. Two things. Completely in all things, two aspects. Completely in all things, and the reason you do that is pleasing to God. Notice what it says. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. Why? For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So our children, we as children, be obedient to our parents in all things. It's completely, not just the things you want to do. Not just the things we want to do, but the things they tell us to do. Obey the parents. We're under their authority, placed there by God. Now, do children want and need structure? There's no doubt about it. A man by the name of Stanley Cooper Smith, he did a study in University of California, 2,000 middle school boys, and he studied them from the time they were in elementary school to the time that they basically were what he calls young manhood. And he talked about self-esteem. What brings about self-esteem? I think I have a slide that talks about, self-esteem. The first one, for high self-esteem, they had to feel loved and appreciated. For high self-esteem, their parents, the ones who had high self-esteem, felt loved and appreciated. The ones who had high self-esteem felt that their parents were more strict in the approach of discipline. And the ones who had high self-esteem also had the homes that was open. They could express themselves, their attitudes of acceptance. Now, those big three things help bring our children up in that idea of self-esteem. Because they're saying, look, you're loved and you're appreciated. Your parents are disciplined. Your parents care about you. They put boundaries, and you can express yourself. You can talk. You can say, "This I don't like this." That your parents may say, "I know you don't like this, but this is the way it is." But in that study, it says, "Children, obey your parents in all things." There is a reason for discipline. You know, I coached for a lot of years, and you know, I did football, and I did track. And in both sports, you practice, and like in track especially, you have these sprinters. And some of these guys, they can run so fast. It is amazing how smooth and effortless. We had a guy that was ranked number one in the world in the quarter mile when I was at Mississippi State. And he would be running around the track, and he would look like this. He was just running it so fast, and yet it looked like he was almost walking, because he wasn't doing all this. He was just coming by, and his jaw was just loose, you know. And I'd go, wow. Guy can run. But guess what? We made him practice. And we made him run things. And we'd say, okay, now we're going to run some 330s. Oh, 330s almost all the way around, you know. And we'd do this. And you'd practice it, because the discipline, there's an aspect. There's a reason to do certain things. And so when parents tell children, obey in these areas, there are reasons for that. Discipline. And so he says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things. And that takes us to the second reason, and that is because it's pleasing to God. When children obey their parents, it is pleasing to God. If you have a child, as a child, or as if you're still under the authority of your parents, or as your children, if they want to be pleasing to God, they obey their mom and daddy. They obey their parents. See, this verse doesn't say just be obedient to your parents. It says be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. God is pleased when we fulfill our roles. I want you to understand that when the husband fulfills his role, God is pleased. When the wife fulfills her role, God is pleased. When the children fulfill their role, God is pleased. When the parents fulfill their role, God is pleased. He's always pleased when we do what he tells us to do. And that works fine. And so that's a great thing. And so as I've got these responsibilities, and I hope you're filling out the sheets as you go. Where is that? Is it wrong on this thing? Oh, yeah. It's supposed to be, of course, Colossians 3:20. I'm sorry, y'all. It just says Colossians 3:2. It should say Colossians 3:20. Now, why do we obey? Because it is pleasing to the Lord. Now, there's some more to this. I want you to look at Ephesians. Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. I think we're now on a page 3. But Ephesians chapter 6, we're talking about this whole idea. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, he gives us the same thing. Obey your parents because this is the right thing to do. This is what is expected. You know, we live in a world that says there aren't any really rights and wrongs, and everybody should decide for themselves what they think is best. That's not true. There are rights and wrongs. At the time of the judges, before Samuel nearly became a strong leader, and we saw this as we studied the book of 1 Samuel as we started that study months ago. But it says that every man did what was right in their own eyes. That's our culture right now. Everybody does what is right in their own eyes. There are people who say today that if you say there are rights and wrongs and the Bible is where you go get the right things, the people will say, well, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Nope. Everybody's got their own view, and everybody has their own rights. Well, it is true that everybody has their own view, but there are things that are right and wrong. And the Word of God tells you what's right. And the Bible here says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. This is what we should do. Now, what happens if children do not obey their parents? We know from God's Word that there will be discipline. In fact, anytime any person openly disobeys the Word of God, you can expect to be disciplined by your Heavenly Father. We talked about it in the first service this morning. Hebrews 12:6 says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every child he receives. Whom the Lord loves. So just as our Heavenly Father will deal with us when we disobey, it is expected that earthly mothers and fathers discipline their children when they disobey. As a father disciplines, so it is, you know, as the Heavenly Father disciplines, so a father should discipline. So the question is, what happens when children do not obey? There should be consequences. There are all kind of aspects on what kind of consequences, and do you spank children and not, and our whole society's sort of gotten warped on it. You know, the Bible talks about not sparing the rod, and it says you can use the rod and they will not die, and they won't if you hit them in the right place. And don't hit them in the head, but, you know, but it's truth. What happens when children disobey? They should expect discipline. But let me tell you another thing. If children go through life without obeying, number two is they're going to grow up disrespecting authority. They will not respect authority. If you allow children to not obey and have consequences, they will grow up not obeying and respecting authority. They defy their parents. They then defy their teachers. Eventually, they defy the laws of the government. They defy the policemen. And before you know it, many of those people end up in places we don't want people to end up in. Prisons are full of people who will not come under authority. Nate Saint, you remember him? He was one of the five missionaries that were killed with Jim Elliot years ago. And he talked about obedience. And he said this. He said, My life did not change until I came to the realization that obedience is not some momentary option, but is a decision that I'm going to make beforehand. We choose to obey. We know there are things that are right and wrong. You don't wait till the time comes to decide whether you're going to do what's right or wrong. You choose already that you're going to do right, and when the decisions come, you choose to do right. So children, obey your parents. Jerry Jenkins. Most of you know who Jerry Jenkins is. He helped write all the Left Behind series. In a letter to his son, he said this. He says, As with all biblical commands, the payoffs for obedience are much more rewarding than any temporary pleasure. Now, that's something we don't grasp. We think the temporary pleasure today is greater than any other payoff there could be, but the Bible teaches us and shows us that the payoff for obedience is greater than any temporary pleasure you could have. Children, obey your parents. Now, we talked about this, and we said as long as you're under the authority, and I look at this room, there are very few children in here, but there are some who are still under the authority of their parents. And we said as long as you're under the authority of parents, you're to obey them. And I've given you the illustration of the girl that came to see me. She was 22 years old. She was at OSU, and she lived in Stillwater, and she was mad. She came in, and she said, I'm really upset with my mother. I've told you this story. So I don't want you to think I'm getting old that I'm forgetting that I tell the story. I know I've told the story before, but I want to make this point. And she came in to see me, and she said, I'm mad at my mother because my mother makes me come in at 12 o'clock. She's making me come in at 12. And here comes your mother, so you better behave yourself right now. I'll tell you what he's been doing while you've been out. Okay, I'll just tell you that. Okay. But she told me, Mom, I'm mad at my mother because she's saying I've got to be in at 12 and I'm 22 years old. And I'm in college. I said, you live in a home? She said, yeah. I said, are we paying rent? No. Did your mom buy you food? Yeah. So your mama's taking care of you? She said, yeah. I said, well, you're under the authority of your mama. If she says come in at 12, come in at 12. She said, I don't like that. I said, well, then move out. Move out and be on your own. Then you can decide when you come in. She said, but then I'd have to pay for everything. I said, yes, you would. Yes, you would. So as long as you're under the authority of your parents, you do what they say. There's a second thing, and it's still in Ephesians, and this is number two, and at the bottom of your page is honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. Notice what it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. It says, honor your father and mother, honor your mother and father and father and mother. And that idea means to show the respect to the position. They are given to you as your father and mother. There will come a time that you will not be under the authority of your parents, but there will never be a time in which you do not honor your father and mother. You will always honor that position. You may say, but you don't know my father and mother. You don't know how they treated you. You don't know what they were like. You don't know how bad you... Listen, we're not talking about them as a personal individual. We're talking about their position and responsibility that you have. You have the responsibility to honor the position of father and mother in your life. It says this is the first commandment with a promise. And it was, if you go back to the Ten Commandments, this is the first of the ten that have a promise connected with obedience. We all know that there is always a blessing when you obey. And so he says, obey. You know, most parents that I know, and when children come up and say, I don't like what my mom and daddy do, I don't like what they do. Most mamas and daddies are doing the best they can. You feel that way? Aren't you trying to do the best you can? Don't you love them? You just love them to death. We love them. But we want them to grow up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and to be trained and equipped and do all this. And sometimes it's not easy. And so children are not only to obey, but they are to honor. And I tell you, as long as they are alive, you honor them. And long after they're gone, you still honor them. There'll never be a time as long as you're alive that you shouldn't honor your mom and daddy. Takes us to the third one, and I don't know how far we'll get on this because we only got about 5 minutes, but let me give you the third one, and that is, and this is the one that some people get a little bit shocked on, and that is to provide for your parents. We already know that, wait a minute, I thought that the parents provide for the children, and that the responsibility, you go to 1 Timothy, and it talks about, you know, fathers provide for your family, and mamas and daddies do this and take care of them, but there is aspect that there are times possibly in which children provide for their own parents. And we know that. There are many of you in this room who have provided for your own parents. That there comes a time, sometimes in their lives, they are not able to take care of themselves. And you have to take care of them. There are many families, even some families in our church, that are what's now called the sandwich generation, which are still raising their own children but also having to take care of their parents. There may come a time that children have to take care of their parents. I can remember growing up that, you know, I thought my mom and daddy, they did everything. I mean, they took care of us and all this. And you grew up, and there came a time after my daddy died and then my mother had all those open heart surgeries that we children, my twin sister, myself, and my older brother, my older sister, we had to take care of our mama. And there are some of you in this room that even right now are taking care of your mama and daddy. Or you have. Or one day you will. There's an old saying that says, be really careful how you deal with your children because they're going to provide what nursing home you're going to be in and how you're going to be. So maybe I better not tell all the stuff that he did because you want to be nice to him because he's going to provide for them. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. We'll just get over there real quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And the passage deals with widows. This could just as easily be a widower, but we'll look at it and we'll see how it fits. There may come a time that you provide for your folks. You are to come under their authority and obey them as long as you're under their authority. You are to honor them as long as you live. And you may come a time in which you provide for them. There are two types of people mentioned in this 1 Timothy chapter 5. There's a widow and a widow indeed. Do I have a slide on that? I think I do. There's a widow and a widow indeed. A widow is one who's lost her husband and has family. You could say a widower has lost his wife and still has a family. But the widow, a widow indeed, the Bible calls it a widow indeed, has no one, has no family. I've heard people say to me that the church is to take care of all the widows. No, the church is to take care of the widows indeed, and if they meet certain responsibilities or certain characteristics or certain qualifications, as some are saying. Look at this. Look at verse 3. Honor widow. This is 1 Timothy 5, verse 3. Honor widows who are widows indeed. That's the two types. Number one is the widow indeed. A widow indeed has no family. And if you go on and read the passage, it talks about that they're a godly woman that's been involved in the church, that's growing and using her gifts, talents, and abilities. It is the church's responsibility to take care of that person if she has no family whatsoever. Nobody to take care of her. But notice the second one. But if any widow has children, that's the number two, and that's 1 Timothy 5:4. What if they have children? But if a widow has children or grandchildren, the idea is here's their family, the children and grandchildren must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now, the bottom line is that the family, when let's say a parent is not able to take care of themselves anymore, it's the responsibility of the children and the grandchildren to take care of them. It is. That's why families, that's, you know, the sisters and brothers and grandchildren and all that come together to say, how can we help mama? How can we take care of mama? How can we take care of daddy? How can we do this? Because they're at the point now they can't take care of themselves. And in our culture and society, with people living longer than ever before and the medicines and the things that we have, people live so much longer. And so it is not out of the realm of possibility that you will be taking care of your mom and daddy if you've not already done it. Yes.
What if there's an older lady who has never been married and has no children?
I think she'd fit perfectly with the widow indeed. That here is a person, an older woman, who has been involved. Because, see, if you notice that there's a list in the body. Verse 9 of 1 Timothy 5 says a widow is to be put on that list. She's got to be older than 60. That's what this thing says. And then it goes on down and talks about a good reputation, brought up her children, if she had children, of course, shown hospitality, washed the saints' feet, she's got to be a godly woman. So if there's a godly woman who was never married, didn't have children, basically got to a point there was no one to take care of her, I think there is a perfect example of someone that the church has a tremendous responsibility to take care of. And that's a great, great question, great point. So, We're to provide. There may come that time in which you take care of your mom and daddy. So three things. Children are to come under the authority of their parents. When they're under the authority of their parents, they're to obey them. Children are to honor their parents always. And there may come a time when children have to take care of them. I've got there for you just Colossians. And you can flip back over there. You don't have to. But it deals with the role of the parents. And I just wanted to bring this out. It says, fathers, do not exasperate your children, lest they lose heart. The word exasperate means to make angry. It means to frustrate. And that's what we do. I want to read you a quote, and then we'll end with this. This is what can happen. A family life specialist named Delmer Holbrook and his wife have been lecturing. This came in Christianity Today. He said they were conducting some surveys across America. In the surveys of hundreds of children, they said, what are the three things your father says to you the most? Here's what they are. I'm too tired. That's number one. Number two, we don't have enough money. And number three, keep quiet. Children said in this survey, what are the three things your daddy says to you the most? I'm too tired, we don't have the money, and keep quiet. I've got a little quote down at the bottom. Notice what it says, John Newton. I know my father loved me, he just didn't want me to see it. And I've known some people who've been in my office in these 20 years that I've been here who've told me, I really believe my mom and daddy loved me. They just never showed it. We'll talk about the role of the parents next time. I know time is out. Quickly on the back, two applications. We'll go through it real quick. Number one, children, fulfill your roles. That's number one. Children, fulfill your roles. And there are three things there, and I'll give them to you quickly. A, of course, is obey your parents, as long as you're under the authority. You know what B is? B is honor them. And what is C? Provide if needful. The second application is, parents, take your role seriously. And we'll get to that next week, but I just put that one up there because we talked about that verse. I do have one statement about parenting. It says this, one of the great mysteries in life is how the boy who is not good enough to marry the daughter can be the father of the smartest grandchild in the world. I mean, it is amazing, isn't it? I mean, it is amazing. Heavenly Father, what a great day. Thank you, Lord, as we think about our children. And we think, first of all, that children are to obey their parents in all things. And as long as they're under the authority, and as long as children are under the authority of parents, may they do that. Lord, we know that we're to honor our mamas and daddies for as long as we live, even beyond their lives, because of that position. And then finally, Lord, there may come time for many of us in which we take care of our mama or take care of our daddies. Lord, may we fulfill the scripture and do what is right, because this is well pleasing to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.